Doctor, but I believe I got more help here tonight. Just listen to the singing and feel the Spirit of God, then you can get in the hospital. Amen. We sure appreciate the Lord. We'll just go ahead and get right into the message tonight. I'm excited to be here preaching with one of my heroes tonight. I love Brother Larry Adams. What a blessing he is. Pastor, he cut loose. I like him too. Our pastor, one of my heroes as well. I appreciate every man of God that stood and stood true to the Word of God, not back down, not traded their Bibles, not traded their beliefs, not traded the things of God for the things of the world. I appreciate every man of God that's still standing on the Word of God. That's what I want to have a testimony when I leave this world, to be standing just like I am today, standing in the Lord. Amen. So if you have your Bibles tonight, let's hold it up. Now, we used to do that all the time. I hadn't seen it in a long time. If you got your Bible, just hold it up there and just wave it around, make the devil good and mad. Amen. I love the Word of God. Amen. I thank God for it. That's all right, ain't it? Hadn't seen that in a while, and I like it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 tonight. I want to start reading now about verse number 13. Give you the thought that God placed upon her heart. Bible said 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Father, you can be seated tonight. Looking at the scripture tonight, and we'll try to preach just a little while tonight. I know it's a youth meeting, trying to figure out what the Lord would have for a back-to-school rally, and just trying to pray, and God put something on my heart, and I didn't know if I'd be able to make it or not, but God would never take the message away. And I kept telling God, if it ain't me, hey, every man of God here, can sit up here and preach, but whoever God puts it on their heart to get to, I want to be the one that if God says it's time to go, it's time to go. But God put a message on my heart, and I followed my heart, and we'll try to preach just a little while tonight on No Child Left Behind. No child left behind. And you know, as we read the scripture tonight, we're talking about the rapture is what it's talking about. Some people don't like that word. Some people changed their mind on it. They believe they're going to have to go through half the tribulation or all the tribulation. But can I tell you tonight, every born again child of God, we ain't going through the tribulation. We may go through some troubles and trials down here, but we ain't going through the great tribulation. We're not going through that. God's calling us out before that happens. And that's what we're reading about here tonight. He said here, first of all, in the verse, he said, he wouldn't have us to be ignorant, brethren. I believe he tells us if we won't learn the Word of God, we won't know what's right and what's wrong. Getting the Word of God, he don't want us to be ignorant, brother. You know what he does? He didn't want us to be ignorant so much. He gave us the Word of God to have to study and to read and to learn and to grow by. But he's talking here about the rapture. He's talking about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call every one of us home. And at this time, when he calls us all home, ever born again, truly born again, child of God, we're going out of here. Can I tell you, it could happen tonight. It'd be all right for me if he just went ahead and raptured us on out of here right now. Went ahead and give us a glorified body. We wouldn't feel no pain. We wouldn't feel no sorrow. We wouldn't be hurting. We wouldn't be going through that. Amen. Got me out of camouflage. Amen. You can just hide me. Let them see Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about tonight. I remember when I first announced my call to preach. I think I might have had one suit. I don't know if I did or not. I went and buy a suit. This guy's going to tell me a bright yellow suit. He said, "Preacher, if you wear that thing, you'll get seen everywhere." I said, "Man, I tell you what, I don't want to get seen. I just want them to see Jesus. Be all right with me if I can just hide behind the bushes and tell everybody about the Lord." But can I tell you, I believe we're on the brink of the Lord coming back. The Bible says that no man can know the day or the hour, but you can't look, as a child of God, you can't look around and see the things that's taking place, what God says is going to take place, and not realize it's getting close to the time for the Lord to come back. Do you realize we could be sitting here tonight and God call every one of us out of here in the rapture, every one of us that are saved? But I ask you tonight, if tonight was the rapture, if it did take place here tonight, would you be the one that God don't want any child left behind? He don't want a mama left behind. He don't want a daddy left behind. He don't want a grandma and a grandpa left behind. He wants us all to go out with him. But to go out with him, you have to be a part of him. You have to be one of his children in your heart. It's just as true as the fact that every one of us called out, saved, would be called out. Just as true as that. Everyone in here tonight that's not truly saved, that's not truly being born again, you would be left behind. And this time, when it's left behind, this time after that, it's going to be a time when God pours out his wrath upon this ungodly man down here. It's going to be a time when Almighty God, in his anger, we don't hear much preaching about God in his anger, but my Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Hey, he loves the sinner, but he don't love your ungodliness. He don't love your ungodly thoughts. He don't love ungodly ungodly deeds. He don't love ungodly ways. He don't love ungodly actions. He don't like it. But there's going to be a time when the saved are called out. And as the saved are called out, the Holy Spirit, we'll see that here in a minute, the Holy Spirit is called out with him. And it'll be a time upon this earth when every evil, ungodly, abominable thing that you can imagine, and every evil, ungodly thing, even unimaginable to us, can roam this earth at that time. I'm glad I'm ready to check out. If the Lord blows that trumpet, if the Lord calls us home, I'm glad I'm ready to go right now. But every evil you can imagine. I tell you, people's imagination. Honestly, I believe this world is getting so wicked. I believe sometimes you may think I'm crazy, but that's all right. I'm having fun serving the Lord. I think sometimes people are so wicked and ungodly that they even surprise the devil. I believe the devil sat back and thought, I didn't know it was that easy to trick them. I didn't know it was that easy to get them to do ungodliness. I believe we even blow those people, blow the devil's mind. I want to blow his mind out by serving the Lord. Amen. In spite of him. He's a liar. Can you imagine being upon this earth as wicked as it is now? With the Holy Spirit holding things back. With law enforcement. With some sense of order in the world today. It's going to be chaos at that time when it's called out. And with that thought in mind, how wicked, how ungodly, how all that stuff could take place. And the Bible said right here, in case you don't believe in it, he said here in verse number 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not Larry's philosophy. This is not Larry's thought. This is not Calvary Baptist Church's thought tonight. It's the word of the Lord. We got the Lord's word on it that one day he's going to call us out of here. That is, if verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. He said in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We have some shouting here tonight. It'll be a shouting day when we get to heaven. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He ain't leaving none behind. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with him. And then look at verse number 18. When we think of all the ungodliness, when we think of all the evil, when we think of a time that it's never been like it was, it's never been down here like it's going to be after the Lord calls the church out and removes the Holy Spirit of God. When we think of all that, then he puts verse 18 in and says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we've seen the picture of the rapture. And we see those that are saved are going out, and those that are not saved are going to be left behind. And then he said in verse 18 to comfort one another with these words. How in the world can you comfort somebody with the fact that it's going to be literally God's wrath and literally hell on earth up here taking place? I tell you how you can be comforted in that. You can be ready to go out when it calls us home. If you're saved tonight, I'm not talking about if you're a member of a church. I'm not talking about being baptized. If you're saved tonight, if you're born again tonight, it ought to bring comfort to your heart, realizing that God could call us out of here right now tonight. Whatever we got planned for tomorrow, it'll be all right. We'll just go home, be with the Lord, to forever be with the Lord. But if you're not here, if you're not ready tonight, if you're here tonight and you've never truly been saved, you don't have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's no comfort in that scripture for you. There is no comfort in realizing that families and homes could be broken apart, that mamas and daddies could be in heaven, and a child could be left down here. Defenseless as you might be. If you've got to that age where God spoke to your heart and God's dealt with you and God showed you that you've been there, that you need to be saved, and you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and God calls the church home, you're left down here. Mom and daddy can't hang around and wait on you. There'll be nobody here to protect you. You're on your own. The comfort in the words is knowing that we can be saved. That we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can believe that he died. That we can believe that he arose the third day. That we can believe that we can be born again. Be changed from one creature into another creature. Amen. We're thinking about that. It's the only way we can find comfort in that. Is knowing that we're ready to go. And that knowing that we're ready to go, it's more than just having a knowledge about him. You must have a personal relationship with him. He must be your personal Savior. It's not just enough to know John 3:16. It's not just enough to know the words of the songs. It's not just enough to say, that's my God and I love him. Is he really your God? Is he really inside of your heart? Have you truly been born again? Can you say that tonight? Do you know that you know that you know that you know? If the Lord called a saved home tonight, that you would go. All those that don't have that knowledge in their heart, they're going to be left behind. And I got the thought of this message tonight by a law that was passed back in January of 2002. I'm not here tonight to preach the politics of it, and I don't know whether you like it or whether you don't like it, but my understanding, January of 2002, there was a law that was signed in. It was an act that was signed into law in January of 2002. It was called the No Child Left Behind Act. And what that was designed, it was the government's attempt of trying to get kids to all have the same grades and all be equal in the grades. But what the flaw in the whole process was, it rewarded schools by giving them money for higher test grades. I don't know if they have any teachers here tonight or not, but just my study, what I'm finding in this, what it turned into was teaching kids how to pass the test without actually having the knowledge of what they was trying to learn. You try to get them to score a high score on the test, but they might not know. And I didn't have No Child Left Behind when I grew up, but I'd done some of the same things. I learned how to memorize just what was going to be on the test, and just all I wanted to do was make a high score on the test. A lot of the stuff that I skipped over, I didn't apply myself. I didn't give it all that I had, and I suffer from some of it now today. I knew how to pass the test. I got to make at least a C. They're going to run me off in 4 years. 4 years was an eternity, but I tell you, 4 years is a drop in the bucket now. But when I look at that and when I think about that No Child Left Behind, and just reward them by teaching them how to pass a test instead of knowing the material, I find that sometimes there's a similar process that has drifted into the house of God. It's drifted into some ministry sometimes to where people know, they know how to say the right words. They're not gospel illiterate. They got the words. They got the lingo, but they don't have the Lord. Can I tell you, having the lingo won't get you into heaven, but having the Lord will. It's not enough that you just know how to answer the question. And the thought that I got from that, and several of you have heard me give this testimony, and you'll probably hear me give it again. I know you're going to hear it tonight. But back a couple months ago, I went down to Columbia, South Carolina. If you don't know me, I'm a missionary, Rock of Ages prison minister. I travel most of the time and preach to kids locked up in prison. This particular trip, we was going to an adult facility, Columbia, South Carolina, called Kirkland Correctional Institution. We went in and visited the general population, several different pods that day. And there was a time when they walked us out this big, long cement walkway over to a building that's known as Death Row. And every person in that building's been condemned to die for the crimes that they've committed. All kinds of ungodliness and stuff has took place in their life, and it's brought them to the point of death where they're going to take them and execute them. Have a point of time they're going to take them and execute them. And I walked inside that cell, and we would go inside that block, and we would go cell to cell and talk to the men at the door. And I walked up on the door of a man, and I started talking to him. And I could tell just had a blank, empty, hopeless look in his eyes. And I started to speak to him, and I started talking to him about the Lord. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm an atheist." He said, "There's no need in talking to me about the Lord." And he said, "I don't believe in God." I said, "Sir, can I tell you, God don't believe in atheist." He said, "He's appeared to all men. He's made his presence known to all men." And I started talking to him about the Word of God. And brothers, I started talking to him about the Word of God. He started quoting the scriptures. He started telling me Bible stories. And the same stuff I was trying to tell him, he would tell me before I could tell him. And I said, "Sir, for a man not to believe that there is a God, you sure have a lot of his word in your heart." He said, "Sir, I was raised up in church." He said, "I was took to Bible school. I was took to Sunday school. I was taught the things of God. They shared the thing." He said, but what I done, he said, they would ask me a question like, "Do you believe in the Lord?" And I'd say, "Yes." He said, "I just told them what they wanted to hear. I knew how to answer the questions to get the results that I wanted from them." And what he told me, his own words, he said, "Preacher, I lived a lie." He said, "In lying to them, I was really lying to myself." And I'm thinking, you still are lying to yourself if you say there's no God, because the Holy Spirit of God was all around that room, running him around there that day. And I kept talking to him, and I kept talking. He said, I knew how to say the words. I knew how to have the lingo. He said, "I knew how to answer all the questions." And my heart, the first thing I said was, "Oh God, please help us to ask the right questions." Because what I'm talking about tonight is exactly what he knew how to do. He knew how to answer. If they said, "You believe Jesus died," he knew he had to say yes, just make his Sunday school teacher happy. And he lived a lie. And they say that lies won't get you anywhere. Can I tell you where lies had got him? Lies had got him to the worst possible place, far as statewide, that he could be about to be executed. But even worse than that, his lies was sending him to hell. And yours will do the same thing. You can live a life that's a lie, but I promise you, you won't gain a thing by fooling the preacher. You won't gain a thing by fooling mama. You won't gain a thing by fooling daddy. And ain't nobody fooling God. When it comes to you and God, the only fool would be us. It won't be God. No child left behind. He had the lingo, but he didn't have the Lord. He knew about God, but he didn't know him personally. See, God has made a way that we can escape from His wrath. And that's exactly what's going to take place after the rapture. It's God's wrath poured upon this earth. Study it out. Dig around. There's no way we could have time to get into all that tonight. But dig in there and see the things that God's going to put upon this earth because of man's ungodliness and rejecting the word of the Lord. But God's made a way that we can escape that. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Second Thessalonians chapter number 2. God has made a way for us to escape.
Yes, sir.
Look in verse number 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That first word, if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to get a hold of that. He said, remember. Remember, can I tell you, if you die and go to hell, I believe you'll remember every message. I believe you'll remember every chance that you've had to get saved. I believe you'll remember every excuse that you've allowed to sit back there on that pew. If it's pride, if it's whatever, if it's popularity, if it's whatever, I believe you'll remember every message that you've heard preached and you've rejected the Spirit of God. I believe that with all my heart. He said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that which withholded, he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. I believe he's talking about taking the Holy Spirit out. When the church goes out, this Holy Spirit's going with us. If he said he would always be with us and we're going out, then he's going out with us. Amen. He said, then that wicked shall be revealed, which the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. It's talking about the Antichrist. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. God has made a way for us to escape the wrath that's to come. If we will accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if we'll accept the gospel message, if we will receive the love of the truth that God has offered us. It's not that God died for some and he wants some to go to heaven. He wants some to go to hell. He said he's not willing that any should perish. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you die and go to hell, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. He has made a way for us to be able to go to heaven. He's made a way for that. But when man reject that, here's what takes place. He said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Look in verse number 11. It's still God's word tonight. The Bible said, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Right.
If you reject the sweet drawing of the Holy Spirit of God, and you refuse to go when the Holy Spirit draws you and the rapture comes. God's made a way for us to escape, but it has to take place on this side of the rapture. It has to take place while God's dealing. You don't get saved anytime you want to get saved. Some of them said, I'll get saved when I get older. I get saved when I've done this, and I'll get saved when I've done that. And I see them in prison and say, I'll get saved when I get out. And you don't have a promise of getting out. You don't have a promise of another day. You don't have a promise of another hour. We was at a juvenile place just the other day, and a young man come out. He raised his hand. He was lost, but he said he wasn't ready to get saved. And he come talk to me. He said, preacher, if I do what that holy book says, he said, that's what he called the Bible. He said, and it is a holy book. Amen. He said, if I do what that holy book says, he said, do you think I should do it now or should I wait till I'm about 50 when I'm closer to dying? I said, son, what makes you think he's 15 year old? I said, what makes you think that you're closer to dying at 50 than you are at 15? You could be here tonight and you could be young and you could be healthy and you can walk out that door and something happened to you tonight and never have another opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. God will never tell you to wait to be saved. God will never tell you to put it up. See, young people want to hurry for everything. We want to get a job. We want to get money. We want to get a car. We want to get a home. We want to get a girlfriend. We want to get a boyfriend. We want to get a baby. We want to get this. We want to get that. And when it comes to things of God, we say, we'll take care of that later. Won't you take care of getting that car later? Won't you take care of getting that house later? Won't you take care of getting everything that mama's got later? No, we've got to have it right now. Give me. But when it comes to time of the Lord, oh, I'm going to take care of that later. Hey, how do you know you got any more time left on this earth? To get ready. God's given us a chance to get saved. God's made a plan for us to be able to get where we need to be with him. Look in 1 Thessalonians. Look back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Y'all stay with me tonight. I believe God's wanting to help somebody. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. He said, you are the children. Ye all are the children of light and the children of day. And we're not in night nor darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. That they which sleep in the night, they which be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are today be sober, putting on breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet of hope for salvation. Look what he said in verse 9. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you're going to make it into heaven is doing by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through religion. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through doing good deeds and good works and good actions. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. And it's not the wages of sin is not work. The wages of sin is death. And then you say, I'm working on my salvation. Well, you must be working on dying then, because the only thing can take the place of that is you die in your sins or let Christ die for you. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or we sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, that's a comfort word again. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Edify one another, even as you also. God has made a plan. God's made a way. If God called the church out tonight, we're gone rapture. We're out of here. Every lost person's here. It's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's not the church's fault. They shared the gospel with you. It's the fact that you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You let me left behind. But some will sit there and they say, but preacher, I got an idea. I know what I'll do. I'll wait till the rapture happens and I'll get saved. After the rapture, I'll take care of that then. Then when I see the stars fall from the sky, when I see the moon turn to blood, when I see all this, then I'll get saved. Can I tell you, that won't work if you've rejected the sweet draw of the Holy Spirit of God. If you've said no to God under grace, you will not get saved during that time period. It'll be impossible for you to get saved under that time period. As we just read in the other scripture back over in 2 Thessalonians, he said, and for this cause, the cause was that they would not receive the love of the truth. He said, for this cause God shall send him the strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He didn't say that they might believe a lie. He said they would. He said that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen.
But preacher, I just don't know if you can make, I hear people say this, you can make that Bible say anything you want to say. No, I'm just reading it right off the page to you tonight. But preacher, I still think I'll get saved here during the tribulation time. Well, let's flip over and look at some parts of the tribulation now. See if you see anybody who's repenting of their sin. Yeah. Look over the book of Revelation, chapter number 9. So surely, preacher, when all these wicked, ungodly things happen, surely I just repent right then. I just get saved right then. Well, let's look over Revelation chapter number 9 and see when these things start to come. We didn't have time to hit every bit of the tribulation tonight, but we're going to hit some of them. See if you can show me in there whether they're repenting of their sin. The Bible said Revelation chapter number 9, and verse number 17, he said, and thus I saw horses in a vision, them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were heads of lions. Now their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third part of the men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in the mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads with them that do hurt. Look what he said in verse number 20. You see, they're not repenting of their sin. He said in verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not. Sign it, underline it, highlight it. They're not repenting of their sin during this time of tribulation. He said, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. They still want to serve devils. He said, and idols of gold and silver and brass. Hey, they're still wanting to worship their idol, their gold, their silver and their brass, and stone and wood. He said, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. He said in verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. If you've rejected the Holy Spirit of God drawing your heart, you'll believe a lie and you will not repent of your sin at that time. You'll be doomed and damned without any hope. But can I tell you, if God speaks to your heart tonight, it's already said the altar is open. There's no time when it's closed. If God speaks to your heart tonight, please get saved tonight. Give your heart to God tonight.
Amen.
Look over now to chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 16. Revelation chapter number 16, verse number 8. The Bible said in verse number 8, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. Look at it. And blasphemed the name of God. They weren't calling out to God for mercy. They weren't begging God. They blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Look up to verse number 10. The Bible said, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. And blaspheme the God of heaven. There it is again. Because of their pains and their deeds. And their pains and their sores. And repenting not of their deeds. They're still not repenting.
Right.
They're still not. You say, I'll take care of that one when I get close to dying. I'll get on my deathbed. I'll take care of that on my deathbed. Can I tell you, there was two people that died on the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them knew that they were dying. One of them on his deathbed, he still had no desire. He mocked God. He made fun of God. He still rejected God. The other one got saved and got in. But the other one is burning in the charcoal walls of hell tonight with no hope, no hope of getting out. You don't have promise of getting saved on your deathbed. You don't have a promise or a hope of getting saved during the tribulation. It'll be too late. Look one more place. Look at chapter 16, verse number 17. Revelation 16:17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake such as was not since the men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath, the wrath of God, by the way. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Look at verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about a weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. If you reject the sweet Holy Spirit of God now, in his time of grace, you will have no time to get saved. When the stars fall from the sky, you will have no desire in your heart. I believe that with all that's in me tonight. I got God's word on that. But can I tell you tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you still have a chance. There is a chance. There is a hope. Amen. If God's speaking to your heart, one more place and we're going to be done. Look over to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Can I tell you, in order for you not to be left behind, it's got to be more than just having a head knowledge. You've got to have a heart knowledge. Do you know that tonight, that there's a difference between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge? Head knowledge is knowing the lingo. Heart knowledge is knowing the Lord. Right. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 1. Get a hold of this tonight. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What he's talking about here, he said we need to have a more earnest heed. What he said, you need to take a more serious look at, a more serious warning from the Word of God, other than just knowing what to say to make mom and daddy happier, knowing what to say to make the Sunday school teacher happier, or knowing what to say to get them to put you in the baptistry, or knowing what to say to get to sing in the choir. It's knowing the Lord in your heart as your personal Savior, having a relationship. Do you have a relationship with Him? A personal relationship with the Lord. He said we ought to have a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. The preacher don't get up and preach just for you to sit back there and play and come around and just say, well, I went to church today. It's good. I'm glad you went to the house of God today. But y'all walk out that door different than you come in. That'll be something different in our heart. That'll be something different in our mind. That'll be something different in us. We'll walk out that door tonight, then we'll come in. He said in verse number 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Here's my question. I'll close with this tonight. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto this by them that heard them? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. He asked a question here tonight. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I don't know your heart tonight. I know what God put on my heart tonight, and with everything that I could, with God's help, I tried to share with you tonight what God placed on my heart. I don't do this to make anybody confused. I know sometimes people get saved, and the devil wants to make you doubt your salvation. I'm not talking to them tonight. I'm not talking about those that you know that you've been saved, but there's some things that's not right. You've done something, and the devil's trying to tell. See, the devil can't do nothing but lie. Before I got saved, Brother Larry, the devil told me I was all right. I didn't need to get saved. And after I got saved, the devil told me I didn't do it right. And he can't do nothing but lie. Well, if he told me before I went to the altar I was all right, and told me after I went to the altar I wasn't all right, that shows he's a liar right there. So I'm not trying to confuse anybody about your salvation tonight. You know if God's moved in your heart. But just the same as that, you know if you're living a life, it's a lie.
That's right. Amen.
You know if the things that you're telling mom and daddy you don't really believe. And I'm telling you, if the Sunday school teacher's teaching you something, if the man of God's preaching something, if somebody's showing you something, the Word of God, and you don't understand it, don't just tell them that you believe it and go on and strike it off. Take the time, get them by the side and say, preacher, I don't really understand all that. Don't live a life, it's a lie.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Ask them to explain it to you. Make sure that you've got it in your heart.
Amen.
Not just in your head.
Amen.
Having it in your head will get you left behind. Having it in your heart
right.
will get you to the Lord.
Amen.
Have you truly been born again? Has the Lord Jesus Christ live inside your heart. And I asked Brother Chris what he wanted to do. He said, it's mind the Lord. So we're going to take just a couple minutes, and Miss Macy will come to the piano. I didn't know if you want to give an invitation now or give an invitation at the end. But I believe in my heart, maybe the Lord wants us to just take a minute.